All right, we have this time to just follow up. We have, you know, thoughts or comments. Go ahead, Lori. You have something you want to share?
Mm-hmm. I was just going to share it with the saints here, and then Doug insisted we record it. So, but first of all, I want to say in reading this chapter today, I was really aware of the fact that what we read about the Lord Jesus Christ as the heir and the inheritance, and I was just reminded of how we started years ago pursuing and understanding the Lord, making known to us identification truths, and the fact that Jesus Christ's whole history is our history. So, and when you were reading in Hebrews, I just saw the perfection of man. You just see it all the way through the book of Hebrews until it ends with Hebrews 12, you know, and says, let us allow ourselves to be borne along, to be taken to maturity, just like Jesus Christ allowed himself to be taken to maturity by the Father, you know, through the Holy Spirit. So I just see Christ's history is our history. We are identified with him. We are in him. And, you know, his life is our life. His death is our death. And his resurrection is our resurrection. So as we were reading the chapter, that was very real to me. And I appreciated that. And I've gone through another real dark time this week. And I was praising God and thanking God for it, because it just sets you up then. And I can I rest with assurance that the Lord Jesus, as my high priest, has been praying for me and bearing me along, even though it felt there was no relationship with him, there was no faith, no ability to exercise faith. It was just all this deadness, this conflict, this unreality, you know, and even not caring. I don't care. Doesn't matter to me. You know, and yet being upset a little bit about that attitude. And so then today, having such a rich time in his word, I just praise him, because if he lets you go through a drought, it's only to present you with the oasis of his son. And, you know, it just like a starving man is delighted with the morsels, and someone dying of thirst, you know, delights in the water, in the pure living water. You were talking about Jesus Christ being the exact representation and the stamping of the Father's image, and that his image is to be stamped on us. So it made me think about that song, Oh, to Be Like Thee. Because we change the words, but I think we should change them back. Because I was thinking, what was the author of these words, who is Thomas Chisholm? What was he thinking? Because he says, Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. And we change those words, and I don't know why, because really they're accurate. We change them to impart thine image, but stamp thine own image.
Well, no, that, you know? That's correct. It's the impartation.
Yeah.
Because you take this, instead of the literalness of that, the impartation is who he is as a priest. But
okay.
We know.
Yeah.
Captured the idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's
about that.
It's the impartation of Christ himself as the image mm-hmm. of God, and that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. And when you took us back to Colossians 1, verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him the all things hold together. I had begun a study in Colossians 1, and I'd made a lot of little notes. And Lightfoot translates this, holds together or coheres. And then here's a quote from Lightfoot. He says, he is the principle of cohesion in the universe. He impresses upon creation that unity and solidarity which makes it a cosmos, an ordered system, instead of a chaos, an unformed mass. Thus, to illustrate, the action of gravitation which keeps things in their fixed places and regulates the motions of things, things moving, is an expression of his mind. That's just very thought-provoking. Yeah. And then, lastly, when you read from Hebrews 6, those verses meant more to me than ever, simply because in our soul life, there is changeableness. Every day, we can be different. We can be so just impressed with the Lord today, and tomorrow, you are in a different place emotionally or physically, which affects your emotions. And just there's so much changeability, just so much. If we ever think we've arrived, oh, now we're stable, just, we wait for the next storm. And yet, all the while, as he's becoming more and more our life, we are more stable, aren't we? We've seen that. So, But when you read those verses, that in the same way God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose. And I just was praising him for the unchangeableness. No matter how fickle my emotions are, no matter my thoughts, that he is unchangeable. And that everything that Jesus Christ inherited is for us. It's ours, because it's in him and he is ours. In order that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement. We who have fled for refuge in laying hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become in resurrection a high priest forever. And those words are so very powerful, so meaningful. He's there as a forerunner for us, which means the perfection of man is already, it's in him. And he's behind the veil, and that's where we are. So I was just so very encouraged in light of just how messed up I've been this last week. And whatever testing, whatever darkness, whatever that was all about, I can't figure it out. But I just know the Lord, again, because of who he is, I'm once again delivered by his so great salvation. And so for those who are listening who may not be familiar with the wonderful book called The Complete Green Letters, I would highly recommend that, because that in that little series of books now compiled in one by Miles Stanford, you will really understand better what it means to be in Christ, to be identified with Jesus Christ.
Anyone else have any other thoughts? Questions about?
Yes. Sure. Thoughts of sharing a bit. Daddy was all excited because we were talking last night, and as you were explaining your Colossians 1:17 connected with Hebrews about Jesus Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. And this is how I've seen it internalized is, I remember thinking while I was still dissociated, thinking and meditating on that, Lord, if I really believe this, then there would be no dissociation. Because he upholds all things. In him is unity. In him is life. There is no dissociation. So what is it within me then where that he is the cohesiveness and he is holding all things? So what is it? And I don't know all the time frames, but then seeing then that first split off a new birth, what happens? Satan comes in and displaces that. Satan is, all he can do is reproduce and say, I'm upholding all things by the word of my power. I am upholding. So then what is the fight? It's not a contest. God has already won, obviously. But do I truly believe by faith that Jesus Christ lives within me, just as you were explaining, that character, that representation? We have all of Christ. All right, Lord, now show me. What is the displacement? Again, you know, like Joshua, every place where my foot touches, I've got to touch it. I've got to gain it. Got to go forward. And then I think there comes a point in our life, like Lori brought out, is that he carries us through. Is by faith, which is active, passively, then in that connection with Christ, he is carrying us through. And so in the DID realm, we're like, all right, trying to figure this out. You know, I got to do something. I got to carry. Even if we're not DID, I think in our own flesh, we're still trying to figure it out. You know, I got to do something. I got to. And that's religion then, when religion comes in. Religion tries to do it. And I know when I first became a Christian, it's hilarious. I look back, reading Proverbs 31. Well, I'm going to be a Proverbs 31 woman. And so I wore dresses, had my hair on top of my head, looked like a perfect Mennonite. People would even come up to me, wanting to know what religion I was. And thinking I was a Mennonite or something. It's crazy.
I don't remember that at all.
I know, but I do. Just trying to be perfected by the flesh. And so there has to be something then of, no, it is by faith. It's by Christ. Christ who lives and dwells within me. Christ.
By grace.
By grace. But it's by Christ. And see, he is at perfection. He carries me on. And that's honestly the most relaxed, most joyful place to be in knowing, not that, you know, like Lori, you had a week from, you know, whatever, last week. But that, how much of it is, he's perfecting us in our flesh, but how much is it in identifying then with the sufferings, with others, and saying, okay, I will make up the lack because my sister, my brethren, wherever, is not able to take that up. So Christ has to relegate it around to carry that, and that takes up that and perfects us as he carries us through in that perfection of who Christ is. And so that's what I was just really, my heart was rejoicing in hearing you talk about that, because I was just sharing. Of course, I couldn't quote the verses, but anyway.
Chapter 2 will be, as you read it, and then we go.
Chapter 5.
Chapter 5, sorry. Then we will be in a place where we can receive more. As you, sometime between now and then, you just, before the Lord, let him unpack it for you, and then when we meet in the assembly, there'll be a whole lot more. So, anything else? Well, thank you, Father, for, again, this time to consider, look off and away to Jesus, consider him again and again, the author and perfecter of our faith. Thank you for the fact that it is finished. We pray in Jesus' name.